recollections of his father. What was his father's name?
Rav
Shaul Licht, and he learned where?
Klett.
He learned in Klett
and
Lakewood. Okay. What was your first encounter that you saw Rav Aaron? When was that?
Rav Aaron was a tzaddik by my Brit. That was the first time I saw Rav Aaron.
Yeah.
After that, we used to come to Yom Neroim. I would come with my father to Davin and the Yeshiva. We used to come every year for a Shana Yom Kippur to Davin and the Yeshiva when the Yeshiva was still in the old building on Forest Avenue, and when the Yeshiva Rav Aaron was still alive. I was in fourth grade in Yeshiva Tana when the Baron was Nista.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what other recollections do you have from your father? Well, when was your father a Talmud?
My father was born in the city of Lublin, mm-hmm. and then apparently moved to Izbica. And from Izbica, my father came to Klett, I believe it was in the year 1938, 1 year before the outbreak of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Polish Bacher, a Finnish Bacher, and he came to Klett. He had a Finnish Lavush,
mm-hmm.
and he came there to learn by Rav Aaron. The way he came to learn by Rav Aaron was because he was a Yosem from his father at a very young age. After today, Yosef Yartzai, and his older brother, Yosef Aaron Lich, was the one who raised him. And his older brother had a friend who had gone to learn in Klett. His name, I believe, was Rav Avram Ovyus. And my father's older brother, who was the one who was Magadol my father and took care of him, he sent a letter to his friend asking him if there are Chassidish Shabbachim in Klett. When the friend answered in the affirmative, then he was asking them to send my father to Klett. And it was always a very big mahalach for him. He stood to go across a big section of Poland from where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
He traveled then to Klett. So when he came, they had a Chassidish Lavush. There is a picture, a famous picture, that YIVO, that was an organization from America, mm-hmm. that came to take pictures in Europe, of course, after the Second World War. And they took pictures in Klett. There's a picture, a famous picture of my father sitting and learning with two other Chassidish Bachim.
Mm-hmm.
One Bacher is Rav Moshe Kohn, who was known yeshiva as Rav Moshe Varshava.
Mm-hmm.
He lives today in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. And the other way, it was this Rav Avram Ovyus, who was killed, mm-hmm. who was killed in the Survivor War.
Mm-hmm.
My father's first encounter, interesting story that he told me with the yeshiva, was when he first came to Klett. So he told over the yeshiva Shtibot Torah Masechta Makkos.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it wasn't his own Shtibot Torah. He said it over from someone else. I don't know who that yeshiva was he said it over from. But the yeshiva Rav Aaron slugged up, began to stickle.
Mm-hmm.
And when my father walked out, he felt that he wasn't going to be admitted into the yeshiva, and he felt very bad because he had traveled from so far, and he wasn't going to be admitted into the yeshiva. So he said that a few minutes after that, the yeshiva Shnei came over to him. Shnei was a little bit older than my father. Came over to my father, and he saw, it seems that my father's face, he saw that he looked a little bit downcast, and he started talking to my father. My father told him that he thinks he's going to have to go back home because he's not going to be accepted into yeshiva, because the whole Shabbat prayer was up a slugging. So Shnei told him, name, it's by Alam and Azoi, by everybody like that, I guess the Baron takes apart the whole stickle, and if I care, the topic is up, and then they're good, and don't worry. And you'll show him accept the yeshiva. My father said he always had a perfect tzitzit pshnei that he made him feel good then,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't have to worry for that little time until he found out that he was a mitzvah. He was mm-hmm. taking the yeshiva and baruched him. My father said that the first time he remembers that during shir, he was standing and learning in the bismedrish, and on himamish almost all of a sudden got knocked over from the crowd, the push of the oilam that was running towards the front. He didn't know what was going on. So he realized that the pshat was that everyone is running to the front to be close to hear Rav Aaron say shir.
Mm-hmm.
The way the Bacham knew, it seems that Rav Aaron lived in an apartment that overlooked the Bais Medrash.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bacham could see him pacing back and forth from the Bais Medrash while he was preparing the shiur. As soon as he would stop pacing, then they would know he's coming down the steps, and then they would all run to the front. There is a famous picture of the Bayan Sam Shir and all the Bachim crowding around him. They all stood. They all stood around him while he said the shiur. And that's how they knew he was coming in, and then they all ran towards the front to hear the shiur. My father used to go, Shal Shud this time, he used to go with other Chassidish Bachim. There's a few of them. It seems there weren't really so many Chassidish Bachim in the class. It seems a very small group. And he used to go to a Chassidish Yid in the Shtot, in the town of Kletsk. He was, my father said he was the Menacher. And he used to prava Shal Shudit. I guess a little bit more of a varma Shal Shudit than what the Bachim had in Yeshiva. So my father used to go there. And by going there, they missed the shmooze. Mashkiach, Rabbi Yosef Leib Nedek, that's how he used to say a shmooze. Rabbi Yosef Leib Nedek, who was Mashkiach of Kletz, said a shmooze then, and they weren't there. Mashkiach Chap, probably because they dressed different, they stood out. And he Chap, that amongst all the hundreds of Bachim, these Bachim weren't there. So the Shiva Rabaran called him in. Mm-hmm. And Rabaran told him that he understands that Shiva Bachim, they need a mayor of Varma Shal, so this Taka could go there, he's not stopping them from going there. But they should try to come back in time for the shmooze. I imagine, but it's my own estimation, that Rabbi knew that they couldn't come back mamish to the beginning, but he felt that as Apopi came, they still should go. I said over this Meister to Ramesh, I reminded my Ramesh Kohn when I was sitting Shibonet, so of my father, of this Meister.
Ramesh
Varshava, who lives today, I think he was the other Siddur Shabbachar who used to go there. I don't remember exactly what he added to the. He had something to add to the story. That was basically what my father said in Klefk itself. the shiur, my father said that the difference between America and Europe was what Rabaran said in one shiur in Europe was two shiurim in Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
It was double the amount. That's how Chilik and the Bachim, the island I was listening, we all know the shiur in Lakewood was so quick and so fast. And my father said that he thinks that in Europe, he said, Rabbi to double the amount.
Mm-hmm.
My father also said, but we'll get to this soon, to the war. I don't know if they learned Baba Kama. I don't remember clearly. My father remember telling me once that they learned, when they learned Baba Kama, I think that they learned every Nachas David. He remembers about Sefer Nachas David. He says he remembers they learned through every Nachas David and Baba Kama. So I imagine that maybe this man who was there was Baba Kama, though I never checked it out.
You ever talk about how they learned? What was the system? The
system itself of learning?
No.
No, he told me about the Mashkiach. Mashkiach was a Kelema. Rabbi Yosef Leib Nedek was a Kelema. He used to say a shmooze Friday night. And then again Shal Shudas. Maybe once during the week. The shmoozin have been given out. Malinovich gave out the shmoozin of the Kelema, of the Kletka Mashkiach, Rabbi Yosef Leib Nedek. He was killed in the war.
Mm-hmm.
The whole story of the Hatzolah and what happened to Yeshiva, I'm not going to go into.
Mm-hmm.
My father is from the few Yechidim who did take the visas to go to that Dutch island Karasa when they were given out, and therefore my father was from those few Kletzkes who eventually ended up in Shanghai with the Mir Yeshiva. It was, mm-hmm. my knowledge, was around 12 or 14 Kletzkes. I have a picture from the Shav Brochot of Mendel Kravitz, who was the Rosh HaChabur of the Kletzkes, picture of his Shav Brochot in Shanghai, and in that picture are a few of the Kletzkes, and altogether I think there was around 12, 14, they're called the Kletzke Chabura.
Mm-hmm.
While they were in Japan, they stayed separate. And they joined up with the Mir Yeshiva when they came to Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
After the Tkufa where they left Kletz, my father said the morning that the Russians invaded, came into Kletz, so the Yeshiva Rabaran took his satchel that he had with his shiurim, and he took a pshneir and he ran into the forest. Mm-hmm. He was wanted by the Russians because he had run away already from Slutsk in Russia to Kletsk. And the minute they found out the Russians were coming into Kletsk, he right away ran into the forest, but he took Mamish's ksavim, that was Mamish's Torah delay. Now he took the ksavim with him. Later on, the yeshiva went to Vilna, and
the
then eventually
was in Vilna?
Yeah. Eventually, from Vilna, then they went later on, spread out to three different Plainish Tetlach.
And where were you?
When they divided up
in the war, by the city.
When they divided up into three parts, my father ended up in the city of Dushat.
Uh-huh.
He said there were three groups. One group went with the Yeshiva.
Where did he go?
Names of the other two places. But one group went with the Yeshiva, one group went with the Mashkiach. My father was in that group with the Mashkiach.
Mm-hmm.
And one group was the Elter Bach and went by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They divided them into three small towns. My father was in Dushat.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yeshiva, he said, was shuttling back and forth then between these three places, and that's when he said the Shiurim on Chargo. It's a complicated Shiurim.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning second paragraph of Kabbalah, Yachbar. Those Chagos Shurim, famous Shurim, put them in the Sabbat Hosfainim.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in that Kufa, when he was Mamish during the war, going back and forth between those three groups.
Mm-hmm.
My father then traveled through Siberia to Japan. He was not on the train Mamish with the Shiva. I think he said he was on the next train.
Mm-hmm.
He was not Mamish on the train, because she was on the next train. Then he came to Japan, and then he came to Vladivostok. In Vladivostok in Russia, they took the boat.
What kind of papers did he have?
To Japan.
Oh, he had
the
Kharosov
papers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so who did he get them from?
Those were when they took them in Europe, when they took
mm-hmm.
those papers, when the Mir Yeshiva took those papers. So my father was from a few Kletzkers that also went and took those in those papers.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they got transit visas to go through Russia.
Mm-hmm.
From Vladivostok, he was there in Japan, and he was there together with the Yeshiva. I don't remember the problem. There is a mitzvah about the matzahs, because the Yeshiva wanted to have matzahs when he left from Japan, because he wasn't sure if he would get to America in time for Pesach. There is a mitzvah about the matzahs, but I don't remember exactly. My father was the one who went back. The matzahs were left behind when they went to the railroad, when they went to the train, and his father maybe was the one who went back to get the matzahs. I don't remember the problem of that matzah exactly.
Where did the matzahs come from?
The matzahs had been sent, it seems, from America. I think they had sent matzahs from America, and they were afraid that she would get stuck on the way.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't make any time for Pesach to America.
Mm-hmm. You haven't sent them?
I don't remember. And then after that, my father was, the Shiva left, and my father was in Japan, and they went to Shanghai, and he joined up with the Mir Yeshiva. There are letters that the Shiva sent to the Chabura in Shanghai, instructing who should be the Rosh and how it should work out. There is a letter that the Blinowitz would have. They have the original. In that letter where the Yeshiva says who should talks about the Chabura, the Kletzker Chabura in Shanghai. From what I understand, the Kletzker Chabura is independent as far as the moment is. And the Mendel Kravitz was the Rosh of the Kletzker Chabura. He already, Mendel I think, was the one who said Chazor Hashir in Kletzk of the Bayan Shir.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as much as I remember basically from
Europe.
From Europe.
The whole part of America.
Here's a mitzvah. I don't remember exactly the problem about the Baron. We talked and learning when he was in Moscow. When he was in Moscow,
On the way,
where he found the talk and learning with the buffer that he found there in Moscow then. In America, so my father came to America. he originally went to, first they went to San Francisco, then he came to America. When he came to the Baron was then staying on the west side, who was already Elul, and the father came in August,
right,
the 47, and he came to the Baron, and the Baron asked him right away, when's he coming to Lakewood? He says, it's Elul. He's coming to Yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
He asked him right away, like, when he's coming to Yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
My father learned here in those years in Lakewood. he told me how he took here when Shneir got married and they made a chasna here in Lakewood. He was from the Ma'aganim of the chasna, the ones who arranged the chasna here in Lakewood. It was held on the grounds of the yeshiva. The gabbai here in yeshiva, I think he told me the story was that on Yom Kippur, when Mr. Junim, Reverend Junim of Hashem, used to get Nafi Yoina, so when he called him up to get the aliyah, that's when he told my father that I should speak to him after Yom Kippur, that he has something for him in Yeshiva Zubedi Yaakov Yosef. It seems that Shiva Baron pushed in a lot of kletzkas through his connection with Mr. Bunim, a lot of kletzkas into positions into Yeshiva Zubedi Yaakov Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we find that the Member Travis and others probably were there, with David Stolman, Yosilevsky, other kletzkas that were there in Set Shurim in the RJJ.
Mm-hmm.
My father used to go a lot to speak for the yeshiva. The yeshiva used to send him to speak. There were a lot of hotels here. My father was a very good speaker. Mm-hmm. The yeshiva used to send him to speak in the hotels when there were people used to come.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to send him to speak in the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
One time he sent him to Canada. Mm-hmm. He sent him to Canada to collect money. So my father drove to Canada. I don't remember exactly, I don't know what year exactly this was. Shiva also sent a younger bachur with him. That bachur, his name is Tenenbaum. I've since spoken to him about that trip.
Hey,
from Monty? I don't know. From Monty. He had a son with him.
Yeah.
He was with Abraham. He was the younger bachur that went along with my father on that trip. That trip was not very successful. What happened was the Shiva had written a letter to a Rav in Canada telling him, asking him if he could send some bachurim. The Rav had never answered never answered the Shiva. And she assumed that it was okay. He sent them there. The mice, when they came there for Shabbos, the Rav told them they can't make an appeal for the yeshiva, that there's someone else there, and they could not make an appeal for the yeshiva. They went to a nearby place, a small place, and they did raise some money for the yeshiva. My father said when he came back, the yeshiva felt very, very bad about that mice that had gone really there, and, you know, really come back for nothing, and it was a very, very long trip in those days.
Mm-hmm.
A different time, my father was sent by the yeshiva, I believe, to Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very chosh of a rav there. I think his name was Rav Kurtz. And my father was sent there by the yeshiva to collect money for the yeshiva. My father told me it was namish, this rav, it was a very big dachkas, a very big armkite, and he took him in, and he stayed there. Those days there was a lot of yidden. A lot of Yidden in Rochester. Mr. Ferguson told me he also once went, I believe, to Rochester for the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
Those days there were many, many Yidden living in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
My father had a very interesting mitzvah after he left Lakewood. My father used to help the yeshiva a lot. I think it was maybe it was in 49 already that he started saying shiurim in the yeshiva of Yaakov Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go a lot later. He was very close to the yeshiva all the years. He was shamish to the yeshiva a lot. He was very loyal to the family and the yeshiva. He helped out yeshiva's daughter, Sara Schwartzman.
Mm-hmm.
And yeshiva Schneier. Mm-hmm. He told me a story, a very interesting story. This was years later, after he left the yeshiva, where there was a balabas who was sitting shiva. They found out that there was a balabas sitting shiva in Bell Harbor. Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
Shiva Baron found out about it, and he called up my father and told him he wants him to take him to that balabas, since he's sitting shiva, now is the time to get into him, and maybe they'll be able to get some money for the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
He this person lived in Bell Harbor. He had a house on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
My father looked into it and found out that it would not be any kvoide of a yeshiva to go there.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to persuade the yeshiva that it's not a good idea, but he could not dissuade him from going. And so my father went and picked up the yeshiva and took him to the house.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to the house, my father said right away, this is not going to be good. He comes in there, he said it was a house mamish on the ocean, and comes in there, and there was goyim there, and he was sitting shiva like in a bar. The house, the bar of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady of the house came over to the yeshiva and said to him, Rabbi, what's it going to be, scotch or whiskey? So the yeshiva said soda. All he took was a little, probably like ginger ale, light colored soda. And then my father didn't know what to do with the yeshiva. What is he supposed to do with it? He had no shaykhis. What is he going to do with the yeshiva? The yeshiva gave an answer. He asked the yid, he was sitting shiva for his mother.
Yeah.
He asked the yid, where did his mother come from?
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out that his mother came from Haradna.
Uh-huh.
So then, once he heard that, the yeshiva turned to my father and he started saying the stories from Nochumka. The yeshiva knew a lot of stories from Nochumka. And once he started telling stories from Nochumka, he started getting very excited. And he sat over Meisim from Nochumka for a while. Then he said, Amoki Menachem, and then he left. Afterwards, someone from called up Rav Tendler, of Isaac Tendler, who was the rabbi of the Communist Shul on the east side.
Uh-huh.
It seemed that this Yid, that was his rabbi. That was where he
was.
So he called up Isaac Tendler, and they asked Rabbi Isaac Tendler to call up this Yid and try to get some money from him. So he called him up, and he said to him, do you realize who was by you? This is the chief rabbi in America. This is there. So he said, he realized it was a big rabbi. He said, what was your impressions of him? So he said, I'll tell you the truth, Rabbi, I didn't understand a word he said. Because Rabbi Aaron spoke Yiddish and he spoke very quick. So he didn't understand. But he said, one thing I could tell you, I was watching his eyes the whole time, and his eyes were like on fire.
Mm-hmm.
This was the impression of a fry yid that the yeshiva made on him. And I say he gave a very big sum of money for the yeshiva then. I think my father said it was $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, we're talking about a long time ago, in the 50s probably. It was in the early 50s, and it was a lot of money then for the yeshiva. And there was a plaque, you think, the father said, hanging someplace with the name.
Mm-hmm.
But it was through such kind of bizyoinus mm-hmm. that the yeshiva had to go through to raise money, mm-hmm. to raise money for the yeshiva then.
Yeah.
My father kept on coming all those years. After he left yeshiva, kept on coming for Yom Neroim, and was close to Rabban, and helped out wherever he could. The time was a yeshiva. When I was born, Rav Aaron was a tzaddik. He came to Queens. He came to Flatbush. My parents lived in Flatbush, near Mir Yeshiva.
Yeah.
And he came, and he was a tzaddik. When my brother was born, my parents already lived in Queens, in Kibbutz Hills.
Mm-hmm.
My father told the yeshiva about bris, but he figured he's not going to be mechaber in tzaddikoyes because he don't do tzaddikoyes twice.
Mm.
To the same person.
Mm.
So it was Machabed, a cousin of his, who was a Rosh Hashanah from the Bronx, and he was the Sandi, but the Shiva came to the Bris. His name was Roy Frankel, and he was the Sandi by the Bris, but the Shiva was there also, came to the Bris.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shiva, my father sort of said something to the Shiva, why he didn't give him Sandi Kois again, but the Shiva, it seems, really told him that he could have. That the Maisa, the minute was in Europe, but he always gave Sandi Kois to the Rav, even
mm-hmm.
though he had by a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the Maisa said they weren't knowing this thing of not giving some course twice
mm-hmm.
to the same person.
Father, to speak about Rabban.
Yeah, he always spoke about him. He always spoke about him. It's always interesting to speak about Rabban and about he writes about him a little bit in that Dhamma to Sefer Sheres Yosef. That he was saved through joining Kletzky Yeshiva. That's how he was saved, because his whole family was killed. And the only way how he was saved was because he had joined up with the Yeshiva. In fact, he did try to go back when the war broke out. He tried to go back home to bring his family over. That was when the Germans and the Russians had divided Poland. But he started out, and in the middle he turned back because the borders kept on changing, and he couldn't go back home.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, he sees clear how he was saved only because of his shaykhus to Torah and to Yeshiva. That's how he ended up being saved. He writes about that in that commentary, Sefer Sheres Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
after Rabbi Aaron was nifter, my father helped Rav Schneier. He traveled to Los Angeles in the early years. When Rav Schneier just became a yeshiva, he traveled to Los Angeles for the yeshiva to raise money. When I was a little boy, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
He traveled to later years. Rav Schneier went himself. In the early years, my father went to Los Angeles for the yeshiva. Mm-hmm. And also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he also went to Mexico. To Mexico for the yeshiva. I'm not so sure about that, but I think he might have also gone to Mexico. For the yeshiva, I don't know what exactly. No, he went to Mexico, but my father told me that the first time he brought Rav Aaron, they made a power meeting in Kibbutz Hills. Mr. Steinberg, Alex Steinberg, of Shalom.
Who?
Alex Steinberg, father of the Paris Steinberg, is the wealthy initial people of his valley. So he made a power meeting. He was my, he arranged it. Later, Alex Steinberg used to make a power meeting for Sukkot Moshe every year. And he got hosed. But the first time they made a power meeting for a baron,
mm-hmm.
so my father was partially afraid that nobody would show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was in those years. So first he brought the baron to our house, and he figured he'll go to the place where power meeting is supposed to be and see if there's anybody there. And some people there, he'll bring the baron in. If not, he'll just hold the paper back,
mm-hmm.
the baron back, and the lights will send the work.
Mm-hmm.
But that's after the car, because that was in those years. That was the fear that the pasha wouldn't, pasha, there wouldn't be anybody show up, even for go to Ador, the pasha wouldn't be anybody to take him to there. I remember speaking about the Rebbetzin many times, the Alta Rebbetzin, when she was coming to Lakewood. She told me that my father was very, very close. I remember the first time when my father introduced me to the Yaakov Yehuda Schwartzman in Yeshiva. And my father, I believe, told me then that he came, the Yaakov Yehuda came, he was here only 14 years old. And my father introduced me to him. He's still then, I remember, very a young bacher, and it was amazing that he was already here in Yeshiva at such a young,
mm-hmm.
such a young bacher. I don't have clear recollections of these things, but I thought of him when he used to come to me on the Rhine, how he used to take me over to the Shiva, and the Shiva used to take me up real close between his knees and bench me. I don't have truthfully clear recollections of those very early,
mm-hmm.
those very, very early years. The year after the Shiva was Nifter, we davened on Erev. Every Yom Neroim we davened in the old building,
mm-hmm.
Mincha, and then on the Yom Neroim itself, we davened in the new building. That was the first year we lived for the Shiva,
mm-hmm.
after the Shiva of Nifka. The Shiva himself never davened in the new,
mm-hmm.
in the new building. And even then it wasn't yet fully completed.
A general impression.
But the yeshiva was a flam fire. He was namish a flam fire in Torah, and about the Torah, limud haTorah, and his daiga for Klal Yisrael, not willing to compromise anything in America here. He wanted to build exactly the way it was in Klesk, the way it was in Europe, and that's the spell of Torah in America.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Lichter, for your words. Thank you.